from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bacsik, and Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Do you have any political impressions or weird stories from Georgia that you want to tell before we dive into sports?
Didn't RFK hit a bear once and then he put it into his car and he left it in his car because he was with a bunch of people and then he covered it up as like a biking accident or something like that? It was wild.
Okay.
Look the story up.
Black sheep and then the deer came back to life and ruined their car.
That was in Tommy Boy. Oh. It needs to be a motorcycle too, because if you told me I was riding my Schwinn and I killed a bear. Yeah, no, I don't know about that.
It's wild. Go look up that story. It's pretty interesting. He tells it. It's a long story and you can hear him in all of his things that he says.
Okay. Do you want to tell your Georgia story or do we just need to move on with our lives?
Nah, I'm good.
All right.
Oh, hold on. You want me to tell the Georgia story? Let me find this real quick, Kevin.
What part of do you want to tell your Georgia story was unclear?
I got to fact check this story first.
Did I not make that clear?
Apparently not.
Okay.
I got a fact. First show with us.
I got a fact check.
Yes, ever.
I can't just
on this show.
Reggie's gone
a lot of times before.
I have to really go back and see if I can find this.
All right. I will let you look into that. In the meantime, Mike, I can try to tell you about the Rangers, or I can tell you about the oddities of this Major League season. Not system, season.
Yeah, let's talk Major League.
Okay.
Let's leave the Rangers alone. We won a game
yesterday. Don't worry about that. All right. I saw this from Jeff Passan talking about what an odd and kind of more balanced out season this is forever. Now, obviously, this would be much happier if the Rangers were like, you know, 8 games better. You're like, yeah, we're right in the mix. With 6 weeks left, you look at the best teams in baseball, and the best team right now, or at least the team with the best record, is the Phillies. They're on pace for 95 wins. That's the best. This would be the first time since 2014 that there was no 100-win team. And then you look at the run differential. Once again, the Phillies are in the mix, but the top run differential is the Yankees at 116. The last time the top run differential in baseball was less than 231. So we're talking about a wide margin was, again, 2014. So when we reflect on last year, I know what last year's
and world. Boat, you won the World Series.
Damn right.
14.
I remember what an oddity last year was because people were like, hey, it's 90 win wild card team against the 86 win wild card team. Hey, you look at it and this is set to be like the least dominant year of Major League Baseball from a team perspective in 10 years. Do you think we're in for another potentially unpredictable
yes
playoff run?
Yeah, because Philadelphia and Baltimore. And Baltimore might not even be in first place right now. I know it's back and forth between them and the Yankees every day. But either way, Yankees, Baltimore, Philadelphia.
It's a tie.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. They can be beat. Are you? I'm not super worried about, I know the Rangers wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the Rangers beating them. I'm talking about, let's say, the Minnesota Twins or the Kansas City Royals, kind of teams that you would be like, those are underdog teams if they make the playoffs. Well, why couldn't they beat those teams? Why couldn't Arizona make a crazy run sure. again and beat Philadelphia and beat the Dodgers? Like, there, neither one of those teams really scare you in the, I would say, the Dodgers, Phillies, and then New York and Baltimore, and they're going to play each other most likely in the divisional round, yep. not even in the ALCS. Yep. So, yeah, I don't see this as a season where it's going to be easy to say, if you beat this team, you've really upset a great team.
And in the meantime, I do have to mention this. Bruce Bochy did say something that I was like...
Was it a concession?
No, not quite
All right.
a concession, but he goes, it's still possible, but you also have to be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Fangraphs percentage says that the Rangers now have a 0.2% chance of making the playoffs. So I appreciate that we're all dealing in reality, even if it is sad.
Yeah, I do wonder, like, the stretch from in the, that portion of last year that was bad, and then what we've seen most of this year, if you're like, okay, this is the way we turn. We do have to look at those moments and turn the whole thing around from there. Start looking at some of the pieces that could get us to the next place, or if that's a reality, and down the road, even if they can add pieces that could make it to the next place, or if we're going to be one of those teams that says we're going to grow, the Rocker Boys, the Vandy Boys are going to come in here, and that's how we're going to do it. We're going to DVD this sucker and do what we did back in the day.
Hopefully with better results this time.
The sad part right now is hopefully no Ranger players are listening. If they won the next, I'll say 19, because they won yesterday. They win 20 games in a row. They literally go on a 20-game winning streak starting yesterday. They still would not be in the playoffs.
Mm.
So you'd put yourself in contention all of a sudden. I'm not saying it would be a bad thing, but that's where the Rangers are at. If they go on a 20-game winning streak starting yesterday and win 20 in a row, you still would not be the division leader, and most likely you still would not be one of the three wild card teams.
I'd be excited, though. Like, wouldn't that be fun, though? Like, the first, how many games in would you be like, oh, hold on, could we win 20 in a row? How many games in would, do you think?
10.
10? That's when you would start?
No, I would be excited once we won, like,
four
in a row that weren't against the White Sox.
White Sox are coming up.
I know. That's why I said that weren't the White Sox. But to really think you have a chance at 20 in a row, I think you'd have to get up to 10. And this is why...
I'm at 14, Kevin.
Okay, yeah. I get it. Let's go to cut number 8. Maybe this is one of 20, or maybe they just won a game and it was just time. Let's hear how it played out yesterday.
2-0 the count to Josh Young. Here's the pitch. Swinging a chopper left side, charged by Miranda. He's up with it, throws over to first, it pulls Santana off the bag, the ball gets away, here comes Garcia, he scores! The Rangers win it in walk-off fashion.
Now,
just like we planned it.
Yes, and we all know, honestly, what it was. And even Boch, I love this about Bruce Bochy. I think he, for better or worse, usually says it like it is. He goes, it was something they needed, the guys, to have some tough losses before today. Good for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't exactly sound like, as it shouldn't, we're about to go take this thing. And then when you add on his follow-up quote about being realistic, I appreciate that he is giving realistic quotes. And for Josh Young, it wasn't necessarily he was Captain America in terms of the way he played, though he had some excellent plays or some excellent points this weekend. Did you see his Captain America gear?
Oh, I did not see this.
Oh, okay. So MLB brought back, well, I'm sure you know this, Mike. MLB brought back Players Weekend for the first time since 2019. And Josh Young had a custom Captain America bat. He had Captain America cleats. Obviously, I wish the Rangers would have won at least three of these four. And
did he have a shield?
There's a shield on the bat.
Okay, but not like a
no, not that I saw.
Okay, all right. So, but he can't throw his bat. He'll get called out. So that's one of the, like, Captain America throws a shield. So
okay, yes, I didn't.
It would be kind of awesome.
Recommend
though,
him throwing his bat.
Josh Young threw his bat at like the first baseman and it just bounced around and hit all the infielders and knocked them out. That would be
cool. Thing
cool.
Is, it'd come right back to him.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be fun. So it's not at the backstop. Oh. How many times, Kevin, have you seen that kid throw his bat to the backstop and the umpire's like, you're out?
Is there any other player on this team that would be worthy of carrying his bat or shield?
I mean, Seager.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Like, that's where it is right now. I mean, Simeon, what do you think about Simeon? Like, he's...
No.
Okay. Seven down here.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. He'll have inconsistent years, but whenever he's really good, he's really, really good.
And it only stands to reason that while the Rangers finally get a win, it was in a game where Kirby Yates blew his first save all year. His first save opportunity all year. I thought that was ironic that, like, the way we got there was through your most steady pitcher losing a lead.
Yeah, when Carlos Santana hit that ball, I leaned back in my chair. I was just like, well, not time for me to say anything. Dave Raymond has this call. But off of the bat, you're like, that ball might leave the whole stadium. If anybody's going to break a window at this point, that ball might. But luckily from there, the Rangers, at least Kirby Yates giving them credit, this is very tough. I don't think people that watch baseball much or understand being part of the game understand. That was to lead off the inning. He still had to get three outs to keep it a tie game. It is not easy when you're on the mound late in a game and you give up a home run. You know the game is now going to extra innings or you're going to lose the game. And you have to take a deep breath and you have to figure out how to get three outs. Now that you came in to close a game, you're now getting three outs to keep the game tied. And so, look, I'm not saying Kirby had a great outing. He didn't. But he was able to recover and get the next three guys out or get out of the situation and just keep it tied.
So now that we've talked about Rangers for the time being, can we go to cut number three? Is Brandon Aubrey the greatest kicker ever?
66 left hash. Boom. Flying on the way. Still flying. Let's do 66. This is the end of the way to go, half. Pops.
Now, NFL Next Gen stats
doesn't count.
I know that is very unfortunate.
That's what I told my son.
Yeah, but it's still. I still thought it was amazing.
It was still cool.
I love when you watch Hard Knocks and they're like, "Your first NFL touchdown." I'm like, "Nope,
nope,
doesn't count."
Yeah.
Just like if you hit a home run in spring training, great job. Doesn't count as an MLB home run.
So he made the Brandon Aubrey made the 66-yard field goal, and NFL Next Gen stats said it would have been good from 72 yards. Now, that's amazing, first of all. But secondly, I also wonder if you would have changed how you did the kick. Because you're like, well, I mean, now 72 yards have been like, yeah, well, I'm just going to kick it the exact same way. Because if I miss, I'm going to be like, well, what the hell did you think was going to happen?
I mean, I think the more important part of it, too, though, is they made the plays to get within that distance so he could do it. Trey Lance did it. He got them the ball. He didn't get them the ball, but he got them to the position where they could make that kind of kick. How many were there seconds left and he makes the slide?
Yeah.
The Dak slide that would have been overtime. But he makes the slide and then he gets the kick out there. I like that McCarthy's like, hey, dude, let's go see if you can do it, man. Go give it a try. And Kevin,
I think that all the time as opposed to a Hail Mary.
The other thing too, he's Plano zone.
That's
and that
true.
Right there is proof. You could be a kid in middle school throwing up at football practice.
Oh, no.
And someday make it to the pros in the NFL and do something big.
First day of practice?
My son Carter had his first day of football practice. He's never played football. And I was informed that he gave up the insides this morning. So they all came out. Good luck to him. I'm looking forward to hearing the story from him.
Did he eat? Do you know what he ate this morning?
I know he woke up at like 5 o'clock.
The rest of the team does.
He ate some eggs this morning, and I don't think he hydrated yesterday. Like I was telling him, hydrate.
No.
And I think that he's just got a lot to learn about this whole process. Kevin, do you want my story?
And what grade
I don't
he
know.
In?
Did you fact check it?
I fact checked the story.
All right.
A couple is suing an Atlanta hospital that allegedly lost part of a patient's skull after it was removed during brain surgery because several bone flaps were lacking identification. His name is Fernando Cluster. He had surgery. I think there was a hemorrhage, an intracerebral hemorrhage, otherwise known as bleeding into the brain. And to treat it, they had to remove part of his skull, and then they set it to the side. The hospital couldn't figure out because they had several pieces of skull bone flaps that were just laying around that were unidentified or misidentified. And then, therefore, they had a little bit of a problem. So they said, here, we're going to put this synthetic one in instead. And they charged him for that. So it was $146,000, even though they messed up.
Hold on. So is there beef that they lost part of the head or that they got
I think both.
Charged?
I think you're both. Like, you're like, hey, you shouldn't be charging me for losing my head here. That's not good. So there it is. I did fact check that. It's from NBC News.
It's tough because I want to be like, if you're a brain surgeon, it feels like you'd be like, hey, remember where the skull goes.
Yeah.
But I'm not qualified by any means to be a brain surgeon.
Yeah, never
so
been one.
I don't think I'm comfortable to say that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk some Cowboys Raiders. Who inch closer to or move further away from making the roster? Plus the obligatory Trey Lance discussion. Next, right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And
maybe we'll run the ball here, don't you think? Second and eight.
I mean, 10 seconds. Let's see what we got.
Snap back. They won't run the ball. Good block by Guyton. Runs up the middle. 40, 45, midfield slides with 1 second left.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's talk some Cowboys and Raiders, because I know Barry Fish on the YouTube is going to have a heart attack if we don't talk 4 straight hours of preseason football.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm curious.
Thanks for listening, Barry Fish.
Yeah, try not to be. Never mind. All right. So is there anybody who you think, and I know we'll get to Trey Lance because that's what a lot of folks want to talk about, and I understand that. Is there anybody who you think inched closer or perhaps moved further away from making the roster? Because I think, I'm going to say this right, Deuce Vaughn got himself maybe back in the conversation, and it felt like he had fallen out of the conversation.
Yeah, Deuce Vaughn showed that he could be shifty again. The ability to make big plays is there, but I think the most important part is he... Like, there were a couple times whenever he moved the pile. You know, like there were times when he was tackled and pushed forward for a couple more yards, showed that he could be a short yardage guy there too. And the biggest thing he talked about too was just proving he could do pass protection. So those are two factors there. I'm not saying he looked like he was the next coming of Emmitt Smith or anything like that. But he wasn't there last week. He was there this week, and he looked really good doing it. So, yes, back in the conversation, my trio would probably be Zeke, Dowdle, and Deuce Vaughn. And I think Deuce Vaughn can give you some big plays at many different times. He could probably do it too, kickoffs, kick returns, stuff like that, as a having two guys back there that can have that kind of shifty speed to go along with it.
On the flip side, Jalen Cropper, I know, is somebody who jumps to mind because of the
fumble.
Yeah, because of the drop on third down. And I wonder if he has moved himself. Actually, I'm kind of curious if that not only hurts his chances, but would they just go with five receivers?
I'm gonna take one more game to really start looking
sure,
at that. I feel like I don't really think anybody separated themselves in that back portion of who. Name one, because Billy, our T Billy.
Yeah,
I thought, hey man, he's going deep on that one, and then still nothing. So I just don't think anybody's really separated themselves. McMath didn't look great in the first one.
He
had
a couple really
good plays in this one. So hey man, if any time we can get a McMath on the team, I'm happy. Jalen Brooks really hasn't separated himself either. So, Kevin, I'm still in that vein of maybe there's another option out there that you could add to this group. But I'm not completely sold on any of the receivers that are trying right now.
And that's why I'm curious. I've seen lots of roster projections and stuff that have, you know, the Cowboys, hey, you're going to go six at wide receiver. And I just wonder if you're not wowed by any of them, even though I know some of them were draft picks. If you're not wowed by any of them, do you not go longer on another position where you're like, I feel like there's actual competition that I need to stay on the team?
Yeah, you need
and go short at wide receiver.
You need depth at your defensive end spots right now, because there's been that's one of the positions too, Kevin. That I'm like, can we find a guy that's going to raise their hand and say I'm ready? Nealon's probably it right now for me. I like what I'm seeing out of Nealon. He looks big. He looks physical. He looks like. Mike says this a lot of times. He looks like an NFL player. He didn't look like a minor league football player. He looks like an NFL player with a lot of room to grow. So that's that position, too, where I'm like, I might need some more depth there. I would take it away from wide receiver to make some more space just because I don't know if I have it yet.
Yeah.
So that might be one of those spots. But I see what you're saying there, too. There are also a lot of linebackers that are like, hey, I want to be in this thing. Leofau's the one, dude. I know he's a rookie and likely going to be on the team anyway or being involved in some way. He's one of the guys that I'm saying he took that step to go, man, everything he's done in camp, everything he's done in games, just I'll give him a thumbs up on this. So that's one of my guys, Kevin, from the defensive side.
How important is it for Leofau, especially because people think of him as the person that could have been a running back? Like not him the player,
yeah,
but at the spot,
yeah.
I know people were like, well, obviously you're gonna go running back here, and they did not. And
what if he thinks about that? I bet that doesn't even cross his mind whenever he's out there. But I would love for him to be like, every time that's what he's thinking, he goes out to practice and he looks at, there's just a big RB in his locker, and he looks at it and he's like, I'm inspired to go out and be great today because everybody thinks I should have been a running back instead. Also, Kevin, two cornerbacks made names that I thought that were interesting. Obviously, Kamon Hall,
yep,
with his pick six for 69 yards. Nice.
Oh, nice.
And he was really good all game long, but Booth got beat deep. Here's what I didn't know, Kevin.
Okay.
As you were watching this game, because Booth got beat deep before we saw anything else from him. And then from there on, he continued to tackle everything he saw and played very good in coverage while playing zone, not straight man up. Did you ever forgive him for getting beat deep? Because I know how you are.
I did.
Okay.
Because of Bobby Belt. Not to be confused with Brandon Belt, yes, on the Rangers telecast. Because of Bobby Belt, who put out the following statistical tweet, which blew my mind. Andrew Booth, in 17 games last season, 7 solo tackles, 1 assisted tackle. Andrew Booth on Saturday night, 7 solo tackles, 1 assisted tackle. So he worked in a whole season of production into a preseason game. Now, could you argue that concerns you on the other side? Sure, I get it. But
You wouldn't have seen Nashawn Wright do that. It was a player-for-player swap.
No way.
And you look like you got a dude that you never saw that kind of outing from the other guy.
He recovered well from that, and that's one of the biggest things. I know we were talking about the closer earlier. One of the biggest things that we talk about in terms of defensive backs, specifically cornerbacks, you have to be able to have a short memory. And so I appreciate that after that, man, he was tackling all over the place.
Yeah. I don't really know that I have any other players that I would say lost their spot. It's interesting that Mozzie wasn't there considering the allergic reaction. I want to hear more about that. I'm sure there are going to be a lot of questions about that.
To football?
He had an allergic reaction to something else. I don't remember what it was.
Maybe it was to football.
I don't think that is the case.
He's allergic to football. Here's one of the guys, though, Kevin. Because last week, after we saw the video, I was like, that dude's gone after he pushed over the Rams personnel person, Huggins. Then you see him out there this week, and he's chasing down quarterback. He never really got there because he's a defensive tackle, but he's chasing him down. I saw lots of hustle from him, and he was making people move too. I don't know if that was enough to get him there, but the defensive tackle rotation right now looks more competitive than I've seen it before, and that's promising because I feel like that's a competitive spot that needed to be competitive. Bringing in Jordan Phillips obviously gave them a little more push in this game, but there are some other guys that are like, hold on, I want to get my opportunity here.
Now, from the 6-7-8, we'll definitely try to track this down. Apparently, Sean Sharif this morning in the second segment might have said that Wanya Thomas was his boyfriend. Which
I thought he was your boyfriend.
Wanya Thomas is a great player, and I saw a couple of roster projections that don't have him on there, and I think that is just madness.
He's flashed around the football. He's shown that he can, you know, make plays on the ball. That's the conversation that that Hall said that Al Harris has with him all the time. If you aren't touching the ball every game, then you're not doing it right. And that's something that you see out of Wanya Thomas out of the safety spot. And he also comes up and makes some pretty big plays whenever he's near the line of scrimmage. Kevin, I'll be very honest. A lot of people that may have heard that interview with him when we were out in Oxnard might be like, hey, hold on, how did that come about? Kevin was like, I want to go talk to Wanya Thomas right now. Let's go do this. And so he went and sought him out because you've been watching him in practice and you were just in awe. I feel like over the last two preseason games here, Kevin, you've gotten the look of him going, maybe you're having a proud Brian moment where you're just like smiling because you're like, that's my guy right there.
Can only wish to replicate that amazing photo. And that's where I also wonder about players. Let's say a player like Julius Wood. Would you take a player like, and maybe this is something we asked Mickey, maybe this is something that we asked Broadus when he comes on the C block at 1 o'clock. Would you try to take a player like Julius Wood and squeeze out one of those wide receivers? That's just my basic fundamental question. And I know every team goes through this every single year. Would I go light on a position or, you know, maybe bare minimum at a position so I can stock up with some other players that I'm like, they have more value to this team. And Julius Wood is somebody that I'm curious about, undrafted free agent. It feels like maybe over the last 3 weeks, you've seen something from him to make you go, I would like to keep him around. And I understand the practice squad, and some people have already asked about a few different players being on the practice squad. I'm not dismissing that whatsoever. You don't want to risk the John Ridgeway situation where you're like, hey, let's see if we can get to the practice squad. No, we can't. And then you lost him.
Well, a couple things. I'm going to probably say this as you ask questions like this. As cuts start to come along, and one more week, I want to see one more week of this. Because we've seen one, we've seen two. You've been able to see some guys have good and then bad. Some guys have bad and then good. Now, what's the next step on? Can they do it again? Like very much like Jack Leiter, like we do with him a lot of times. Okay, well, that was a good outing. Okay, that was a crappy outing. Which one's him?
Yeah.
You know, well, you got to really find that out. And Kevin, anything I can do, anything we can do to keep Snoop around is what I'm trying to figure out. How do we keep Snoop Connor on this team and give him some opportunities?
Yes. I talked about that in training camp. I realized the odds were long and probably still are long against him, but it seems like when he gets the ball in his hand, something happens. And then, Corey, I know you mentioned him earlier. I noticed Mina Kimes was tweeting about Marshawn Nealon as well.
Oh, really?
And so,
what'd she say?
She said, through two games, really like the early returns on Cowboys' second-round pick, Marshawn Nealon. Still putting it together as a rusher, but already looks like a plus run defender. Strength
yes.
plus Twitch really pops, which is kind of everything that you were hoping for and still could hope for from Mozzie Smith. And that's great if he can get to the quarterback. We all agree on that. But if you can stop the run at even an average level, let alone a plus level, well, welcome to the team. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. Strength is the first thing that really stands out because I've seen him push people back, you know, push tackles back. You can't block him with a tight end. You're going to have to do a couple different things with him. But he does push people back into the play, and I like that. It's the next phase for him. And Broaddus has said this, and that's really where it stands, is can he add moves? Can he play well with his hands so that he can get tackles off of him and make plays on the quarterback? That's the next phase for him because he's doing well in the run defense part of it. He collapses plays. He makes things happen. There was a moment where he kind of got pushed out like early in the game,
yeah,
and there was a run his way. But from there on, he was really good. I really like what they – that's a second round draft pick that a lot of people were like, who? And here you are watching him play, and you're like, now I know what Will McClay and, sure, and staff were looking at.
So in case you're keeping tabs on these type of things, the Dallas Cowboys are, in fact, victorious 27-12 over the Raiders.
Are we catching up now to Baltimore in preseason wins?
I mean, well, you would only be one
Baltimore never lost
behind,
still,
right? So they're 1-1 again. Don't know if you care
if
about
you start
such
off
things.
0-2, your percentages of making the playoffs.
No, that is in the regular season. That is not in the preseason. Didn't the Cowboys go 3-1 in the 1989 preseason? Then they went 1-15.
It didn't matter. Just like Emmett didn't matter in 93.
They scored 2 touchdowns. I mean, like Trey Lance scores 2 touchdowns. Last week we were like, is a touchdown ever going to happen in the preseason?
Sure.
I feel like it is like, what is going on?
They threw and ran.
They were able to manufacture 2 touchdowns. Yeah, it was a really nice pass in the end zone. That was one that I really liked there. And then there was the run, the breakaway. Flournoy, if you get a chance to go rewatch the Flournoy touchdown, he makes a move that just basically broke the cornerback inside. He didn't know what to do. Once he made that move, then he easily got to his corner. And that's a pass, Kevin, that we've seen Trey Lance fail over and over,
yeah,
and over at. And he looked really comfortable throwing that. Obviously, he was wide open. Like, being as wide open as he was a huge factor. But he made the play, and it was really nice to see that from him.
I want to throw this out there because I know people ask these questions specifically about Trey Lance. It's because some Cowboys fans out there, not saying that this is the way to go whatsoever, but some Cowboys fans out there are like, man, he was a top pick in the NFL draft. Maybe if he moved on from Dak, he would live up to all that promise and he would be the magical quarterback that we were waiting for. I'm not saying any of that's going to happen, but in case you wonder why so many people are fascinated with Trey Lance as opposed to like Cooper Rush, who's your actual backup quarterback, I think that's got to be why.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Pastor.
I'm calling out Barry Fish right now on YouTube.
Oh, just one time is fine.
Nope, Barry Fish, if you're listening, this is interesting here. And if you're on YouTube and you're watching / listening, I'm going to talk baseball nuggets, but if enough football people right now on YouTube,
oh, yes,
if they start texting in, I'm sorry, and I'll go to Twitch too. If you want more football talk, like around the NFL or more Cowboys talk, you have to text in now. If not, I am going to talk baseball nuggets. Your call, Barry Fish, next.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, it's time for, I don't know, Pick a Sport Nuggets with Mike Vasek.
Well, it looks like YouTube has talked. Even though, Barry Fish, we'd like to call you out again. Thanks for listening, except you're a quitter. You didn't even put anything on the YouTube chat because you quit us because we started off talking baseball. But the rest of YouTube has spoken, and I would say about 70%. Maybe 65% chose football.
Oh.
Here we go.
Here we go. Okay. So, first, as we talk football, Turtle Ninjas asked a question on YouTube. And he said, why does Mike not have any eyebrows? Well,
you're wearing glasses.
But I really don't have. I have a few hairs. It's just,
I don't think I've ever noticed that.
It's the way God made me. I don't know why. Like Charlie Villanueva, this is obviously basketball talk. I can't see football players' faces. They have helmets on, so I don't know what they look like. I don't know football players without eyebrows, but I can see basketball players' eyebrows better.
Right.
Well, I don't know why I don't have eyebrows. I'd like to have eyebrows, but I don't have any. There's just some random hairs up there that are very whitish that match the color of my skin. So that's why I don't have eyebrows. So there's the first question answered to Turtle Ninja on YouTube.
Turtle Ninja also said literally no one tunes into the show for anything but football. So
damn right. Okay. We're good at football talking.
Football talking. Man, did you guys see Patrick Mahomes behind the back pass?
Yes.
I did.
Yes. And it's awesome that he can do something like that. And what I liked even more, though, is the relationship between him and Travis Kelce afterwards.
Is it because he said he threw it out of spite?
He was like, he lined up in the wrong spot and didn't know what the play was. And Travis says, hey, look, sometimes you can't understand his froggy voice. And so I didn't know what he was saying. Oh. So that was, but again, the relationship is so tight between those two that they know that they're just making fun of each other. And they're also having a good time with preseason football.
He's so awesome. He's going to do that in a regular season game.
I could see that.
He is. I know that we talk about Tom Brady, and I get it. It's all about championships, like it or not. About championships, because probably if we all went back and watched every single game that Peyton Manning played in and Tom Brady played in, we would probably come to the conclusion that Peyton Manning's a little bit better. Even though when I play catch with my son, football catch, it's good for strengthening your arm. He sometimes will throw a wobbler, and so will I. And he's like, did anybody ever throw a football like this in the NFL? I'm like, believe it or not, Peyton Manning might be the greatest quarterback of all time, and I don't know if he ever threw a spiral.
It was almost a duck every
time. Is that the most amazing thing in the history of football?
Yeah.
Arguably the greatest thrower of the football, the most accurate passer in the history of football. He has 5 MVPs. Peyton Manning never threw a spiral. So are guys doing it wrong by throwing spirals? Should there be a hair of a wobble to your ball?
No. Well, the thing about Peyton is he understood offenses and defenses so well that he could do that. Like he made up for everything else with his huge brain. So he anticipated so well that he got guys out there, and he had the arm strength too to push the ball out there as well. And it wasn't a complete duck. It just it did wobble just a little bit. That being said, you never saw Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, the greats, throw behind the back pass. Like he does things that are just natural to him that he's like, yeah, I mean, I just did it. You never saw him do anything like that.
Let's warn other quarterbacks across the league who have not won things. Don't do that, because even if it works, I think you're going to get yelled at. Patrick Mahomes can be like, have you seen all the Super Bowls and MVPs I won? I'm going to be fine.
All right, so if we did take out, this isn't fair, this is stupid for me to say, but we're doing football nuggets here. If you took out the championships, obviously Manning has 2, yes, kind of 1, because he didn't do a lot in the
Well, then
Denver
Brady
one.
Has kind of 4.
Okay.
Maybe.
But who was better at quarterback? You guys don't answer. Text in, YouTube. This is your football nuggets. Text in Brady or Manning. And Corey, you've raised your hand appropriately because it's school time. Mm-hmm. School's in session, sucka. What's up?
Tonight, Dane Dunning is scheduled to pitch for the Ravens.
Hey, that's baseball nuggets.
Sorry, I had to throw that.
And also, voted. Somebody had a question about your call for the Josh Young home run. So,
what did I say?
I don't know.
They said you sounded really excited and they loved it.
I was very excited, but stop talking about baseball.
Sorry.
Barry Fish is going to leave us again.
I think he already did.
He did. He left us forever. All right, so now back to football nuggets. Patrick Mahomes. He's by far, I will say this, I'll compare him to 2 other guys in my lifetime. I don't know about Fran Tarkenton. Go talk to Mike Fisher about him. when it comes to Brett Favre and John Elway, and maybe these aren't the best comparisons, they were so entertaining to watch play football.
Yeah.
And I'll give you this. Aaron Rodgers in his prime was too.
Yeah.
He's a hair out of his prime. Maybe he's totally out of his prime. We'll find out this year. Football nuggets.
There were a couple plays every game from Aaron Rodgers where you'd shake your head and go, how?
That stupid play that he made with 4 seconds to go in the playoff game against the Cowboys when they tied it up. And Jason Garrett's like, I really want Aaron Rodgers to get the ball back. Can we call a timeout here so people can see the greatness of Aaron Rodgers and we can lose a playoff game? And I can think about it with my Princeton brain the rest of my life, because I can't just do all I do is think. That's why you don't want Duke people and Princeton people in football. They're not doers. They're thinkers. Yeah. I don't want thinkers on my team. I want doers, football nuggets.
That's why you go out and get a coach like McCarthy, because he's just he's just a doer.
Yeah. You think when he gets a plate of food in front of him, he thinks about not eating it? He just eats it. He does it. Okay? Football nuggets. You put a bunch of football nuggets in front of him, he ain't thinking. He's doing.
Drop some weight.
How much
this
better do you think it makes
the
segment when you repeat the name of the segment like pretty regularly?
Well, I'm just making sure people understand. Okay. They voted for it, so they want it. All right, so Patrick Mahomes. I'm trying to compare him to Brett Favre or to John Elway when I saw that rocket arm as a kid. I don't know what to compare him to, because he is by far the most fun,
very unique,
arguably the best quarterback, but to me, I guess you can argue it, the most fun quarterback, and it's not even close. Hey, guys, discuss.
I think Romo was fun. Like some of the things that Romo can do, and watching Caleb Williams this weekend, if you get a chance to see some of the highlights from his maybe two drives that he were very special, you see some the Mahomes parts that they've been talking about, where he'll scramble and make a play out of nothing. And you saw Romo do things like that too. But again, Mahomes is so much different than Romo, by far different than what he was. So yeah, he's an incomparable player. Is it incomparable or uncomparable?
Incomparable?
Incomparable player. I've never quite seen anything like what he can do athletically, and then also the way he sees the field and understands the game.
And yet he's not fast. I remember asking Kavanaugh, I was what was his 40 time? Because this dude, like, when he takes off, it seems like he has yards. Just enough to not be caught and then to get out of bounds or whatever he needs, he will get. And then he does things with such flair, like behind the back, passing the ball. And I know, it's just preseason. He's going to do that in a regular season game.
If we're just talking fun, would you say the closest to him right now, totally different quarterback, is Lamar? Just because I think Lamar is a fun quarterback there.
Yeah.
Very different quarterbacks.
Yeah, in a different way fun, I guess. But fun.
But he is also fun.
Yeah, and Michael Vick fun, right?
Yeah.
I feel like they go into that category.
Yeah.
They could take off and they could juke
you
guy.
Run for 100 yards.
Like they're Tyreek Hill. And you're like, Tyreek Hill is playing quarterback right now the way they're running the ball. And they can do stuff like that. So
and if it's just throwing the ball, I always used to think, even though I saw him a little later in his career, that Dan Marino was incredible throwing the ball, because it felt like he could make throws that nobody else could make.
And this person's right from the 214. I guess you're all too young to have seen Roger stop back every week. Roger Staubach. I'm sorry, they said stop back, but it was probably speak to text. Every week, he was as fun as Patrick Mahomes. I didn't see it.
I've gone back and watched quite a few playoff games of Roger Staubach. He did extend plays, and he was a good runner of the football.
You have watched a lot of him.
They are running, I hate saying this, they are running such basic plays.
The way that
we see the game today, the way that we see, like back then, if you were watching in the 70s, I was born in 77, Corey was born in 81.
Yeah, it must have been mind-blowing back then.
79. So like, it's tough for us. With Roger Staubach, you have to go back to YouTube, which I have. I've probably watched 10 Roger Staubach games in my life that were very important games. And he is entertaining, I bet, the most entertaining for his time.
Yeah.
The tough part is when I watch a Dallas Cowboy 1977 NFC Championship game, I watch that compared to watching today's football. It's very tough to compare it as the same sport. It's just...
It's like watching Star Wars when it originally came out versus the stuff they're
100%.
Doing now. Completely different graphics.
When Sandler watches it now, like, I'm going to watch it. Yeah, it's going to be trash. 1977.
Oh, whoa.
Well, technology of watching the Death Star blow up, you're like, this is crap. What'd they do? Just take some Legos and throw a smoke bomb?
Too far,
in it?
Mike. You could change all baseball right. nuggets and football nuggets. You will not besmirch Star Wars.
Well, that was baseball nuggets by football.
That's it.
I hope you enjoyed it, because Barry Fish, you left us too early, dude. Yeah. That is now from 10-11. You started at 10-11.
Yes.
You changed the subject. You took us off of baseball, and from 10-11 to 10-55, it's been straight football nuggets.
Hey, guess what's coming up next?
Football Nuggets.
We will talk with our Dallas Cowboys.
1993
insider.
Was the year of Derek Lassick.
Mickey Svagnola. You know what? I think you should bring that up with him.
I'm not. But hey, it's football all the time here, Barry.
We'll do it next right here. The fan.
Yeah! From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.